I'm Justine Grieve with proceduralfairness.org. Police and judges can do a lot to promote procedural fairness, but what about factors that are beyond their control, factors like race and ethnicity? Today I'll be speaking with Thomas Baker, who co-authored an article looking at how racial similarity or difference between an offender and the prosecutor in their case affects offenders' perceptions of the court's fairness and how likely they say they are to reoffend. Dr. Baker is an assistant professor in criminal justice at the University of Central Florida, and he's here today to talk about that article. Dr. Baker, thanks for joining me.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
So describe the study that you conducted. What questions were you asking? How did you choose the participants?
So we had access to this particular facility out of sheer convenience. We had a former professor at the university who had become the warden at the particular prison that we were at. And she allowed us to come in and survey her offenders. The survey itself actually focused on a host of issues, but for this particular study, we focused in primarily on their perceptions of the courts, their obligation to obey the law, their experiences with the criminal justice system, in an attempt to see how all these factors came together to kind of affect their self-regulation and their perceptions of procedural justice.
You're measuring obligation to obey the law rather than recidivism or incidents of misconduct in prison. Is that because the women are in prison and thus likely to have fewer opportunities to commit crimes, or because you're interested in what they perceive and what they say about what they'll do?
Well, number one, tracking offenders over time is very difficult. So to get them after they are released to see if they recidivate again and come back in would require, you know, official data as well. And we weren't able to actually capture the official data. And then in terms of the actual charges in the prison, we didn't think that would be a very good measure of offending based on procedural justice of the courts. Any institutional misconduct we would suspect would be the result of a lack of procedural justice inside the facility, perhaps by correctional officers or other staff that they come in contact with.
So what types of survey questions were you asking of the offenders?
We asked them a variety of questions, things like, overall, how satisfied are you with the fairness of the way courts treat people? Or how often do courts treat citizens fairly and handle their problems in a fair manner?
And then specifically about their situation as well, how well they felt that they were treated in that specific case?
So we didn't ask them about how well they felt that they were treated in that specific case, but we did ask them about the race of the court actors in their most current case. So whether or not coming into contact with these individual people affected their overall perceptions of court procedural justice.
So what did you find? What were the results of your study?
In terms of shared race and ethnicity, what we found is that the sharing the race with their defense attorney had no significant effect. But if individuals shared the race with the prosecutor, if whites shared the race with with a prosecutor, they were significantly more likely to perceive the courts as fair. However, for non-whites, it was having any non-white prosecutor that increased their perceptions of procedural justice.
So what is your interpretation of why people perceived their cases more fair if they were of the same minority or non-minority status as the prosecutor?
So, you know, we base it on the group value model that's been kind of espoused by Tyler and his colleagues. The idea being that the key components of perceiving court actors or police or any kind of authority for that matter as fair, one of the key ones is status, the idea that you share status with these individuals, that you kind of share an identity with them. You know, that you have respect and they respect you. And so sharing an identity with these individuals confers to whites and non-whites that they're a member of a respected and important group. This, in turn, affects their obligation to obey the law by increasing the procedural justice. And I think a lot of it has to do with voice, the idea that individuals who come in contact with individuals that they share the same race with feel that they're better able to communicate with them.
What do you see as the main contribution of this article?
So I'd say that, one, even amongst inmates, even amongst people who have serious interactions with the criminal justice system, procedural justice is important, and it's critical that we promote procedural justice if we want to promote law-abiding behavior. And second is that there might be factors that are out of the control of criminal justice authorities when they're trying to promote procedural justice, that there might be other factors that we need to focus on as well. And one of those would be diversifying the criminal justice system. if we want to make sure that everyone feels like they have an important role, or that people like them have an important role in the criminal justice system, we need to make sure that the criminal justice system looks like the population at large.
I've been speaking with Thomas Baker about his article, Shared Race and Ethnicity, Court Procedural Justice, and Self-Regulating Beliefs, A Study of Female Offenders. It appears in the June 2015 issue of Law and Society Review. Thanks very much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Not a problem. Bye-bye.